Hey, everybody. We're excited to welcome Shelly Wizen back on Big Blend Radio to talk about cooking and how it can really boost consciousness. And Shelly knows all about that. In fact, she has wonderful programs on how to be conscious. So we'll talk a little bit about that with her. But she is the founder and CEO of the Soul Diving Institute. And that was established to study and teach the art and science of being human. There's a lot of bees in this conversation. I'm just saying, we're buzzing. She's also the author of The Healing Journal, the author of The Story of the Magical Baby Grand Piano. And her latest book is a must-have. It is called What Do You Bring to the Table? A Savory, Sensory, and Inspirational Guide to Living a Yummy, Delicious Life. She wants everything to be yummy, Yay! Delicious. So go to her website. ShellyWizen.com, and that's Shelly with an E-Y, and it's Wizen, W-H-I-Z-I-N, because she likes to whiz in, whiz out, and apparently, I shouldn't say whiz out, that sounds bad, apparently likes to zip line too, so we'll find out. And also go to her book, a website is whatdoyoubringtothetable.com, a book.com. So welcome, Shelly, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much, Lisa, for having me on your show. I always love being your guest because you're so much fun to be with.
Well, thank you. You too. I mean, I just listen, you've been ziplining. So yeah. I'm digging this. In fact, we're recording this while you're in Mexico having fun. So do you have to be conscious when you're ziplining?
Yes.
I know we got to talk cooking, but let's talk about ziplining because that's pretty darn cool.
Yes. It just goes to show you need to be conscious in all aspects of your life, whether you're inside or outside or whatever the heck you're doing, because you want to, when you're ziplining, you want to hold on. You just want to zoom through the wind. One of the zip lines was like 65 miles per hour. It was fast. It was really fast.
Are you kidding me?
No, it was so fast.
That's
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. What did you see? I mean, what was below you?
Trees, a lot of trees, a lot of plants, some palm trees, more foresty trees. And a lot of everything. And then the view, you had the ocean. So you were ziplining down a mountain, but then you had the ocean that you're looking at the whole entire time. So yeah, it was just amazing. Yeah.
That is really cool. And it's out in nature and having a family time. And that really brings me to your book, What Do You Bring to the Table? I think this is such a cool conversation to have because cooking and consciousness really do go hand in hand. And that's really part, that's a big, main focus of your book. It's not just, here's some recipes, have fun, go cook. Your book is about having a yummy, delicious life, and you've put it all together. And that's how we first met you too, is with your book. And now you're doing these Being Conscious programs. And the next one starts April 28th, everybody, but you're doing a lot of them, but we're real close to April 28th. So go to ShellyWizen.com. But let's start talking about cooking. Has that been part of your life and journey of learning consciousness and what it's like to, be human?
Yes, it's, well, being human, we all need to eat. So that's one thing that we cannot live without is food. And certainly you can fast for a certain period of time, but eventually you need food for sustenance. So being conscious is food for the soul. It's the sustenance for the soul. It's allowing yourself to be present in the moment of your life, wherever you are, whether you're cooking or whether you're cleaning the dishes or whether whatever it is that you're doing. And one of the things about this book that I happen to love is bringing consciousness into cooking and offering some, I call them happy mindful meditations. They're just a moment or two to kind of set your energy right. If you've been harassed or hurried during the day, or you don't feel like making anything or whatever, what it does, it just allows you to take a moment, breathe, and just focus on something that makes you feel good. So by the time you do go into the kitchen to cook, you are cooking with wonderful conscious energy.
And does that affect us health-wise, that our food is made that way, like with consciousness, with love, with intent?
100%. Because you've heard so many people, and I'm sure you've been to someone's house where they made the food with so much love that you could feel it. Mm-hmm. You could feel it when you ate it, that there's love pouring into the food. Just imagine if you're angry and you're resentful and you're regretful and you're mad or you're sad, and you bring that into the food, that energy goes into the food too. I mean, there were some wonderful experiments by a doctor named Dr. Emoto, and he's a Japanese researcher who put words into water, like infused the water with words of love and words of hate. And he crystallized, he froze the water and took microscopic pictures of the crystals in the water, and they were entirely different. So yes, energy has everything to do with everything.
Mm. You know, and sometimes I wonder about that when we cook, like if you're getting a recipe, maybe it's a family recipe that's gone down through generations and it gets to you and you're just, yeah, I've got to get this done. We've got to make it like maybe it's a cake and there's a cake sale for the kids tomorrow and I've got to get it done. And, you know, the phone's ringing and people are jabbering everywhere. The TV's on giving us all kinds of horrible news, and it's just, you're just in a pissy mode, and here right. comes the famous cake recipe, and the cake, I mean, you follow the instructions, but I wonder if it just, we have cooking flops, and then, of course, if you slam the oven, the cake's going down, you can't slam the oven door, yeah. You know, so I wonder about our cooking flops, if it comes from our attitudes when we're in there, or even having, because you know how many times people say, you know, when we used to teach music, people would go, oh, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Now, if I had, you know, a dollar for every time someone's told me that musically, I'd be pretty darn well off. Yeah. And I wonder about that with cooking, that do people self-sabotage themselves saying, oh, I can't, I've never been able to cook, I can't do that, you know, from their attitudes. And then it won't work because of that attitude.
You know what? You are so astute. Because that is
well, thank
how
you.
Work. You are. You got it. You hit the nail on the head, or you hit the spatula on the pan. I don't know how else you want to say.
just keep the rolling pin away from me.
Some kind of food analogy there. I don't know what it is, but yeah. Because when we think of something negative that's going to happen, I mean, there's like a default button on humans, and that is, it's kind of like go to the negative, go to the worst scenario, go to the what if worst scenario. And we are wired for impending danger. That is true. However, we are also wired for love. Without love, we wouldn't be able to procreate. That's the whole energy of procreation. We love so much that we can create a whole new human being. And that's how strong the energy of love is. And so we need to override the default button of impending danger, which served us way back when we were cave people, because if there was a predator lurking around the bend, you know, we had to be on alert, but we don't have those same kind of predators. So bringing consciousness into the way in which we live our lives is a very important quality that we want to put into our life. When we're conscious, we are aware. We're like an observer of our own self, and we're aware of what we're doing. And when we're aware of what we're doing and we are thinking down a stream that makes us feel bad, then we can actually stop it. It's called a pattern interrupt. We pull it back and we recalibrate. So the book is about life lessons, how to recalibrate, and yummy, delicious recipes to live.
You like to say life. That yummy, delicious.
I do.
Is that your favorite saying?
It is.
Yummy, delicious.
Yummy, delicious, because I dare anybody to say those two words together and not feel better about whatever. You cannot feel not good when you say yummy, delicious in your mouth.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
And now I want cake with frosting, buttercream. Buttercream.
I don't know. And I'll send it to you.
I really think because I knew you were going to do this today, I've been craving cake all morning. I don't know what is that. It's and then I looked down and it was 11:11, and I thought, oh, okay, the gods are telling me you can eat cake, Lisa. It's okay.
I like those whisperings that you hear. I like those.
Yeah, yeah. What is that with the 11-11?
The 11-11, from what I understand, I'm not an expert in it, but it's a portal. It's an opening into the cosmic realm. When you are aware of it, when you notice it, then your soul is awakening your human to be aware. So
it's happening every day.
Well, that's right. We get an opportunity twice a day to be aware of that.
Well, that's cool. That means that the spirits want me to have cake. And so I'm going to go make that chocolate cake recipe that you have in the book. And everyone, that recipe is up on blendradioandtv.com too. Yeah. I think that was one of the first things we did with you was like, we got to have the cake.
Yes.
You know, the chocolate cake. That and it's Mother's Day coming up.
Yes.
This is a good time to start practicing cooking for mamas.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Got to cook for the mamas. I made Nancy a brunch the other morning
and
it worked. I didn't burn it. Well, you know, you're not supposed to do this on an Easter, right? But I made her bacon, which is the first time I've ever really done it.
Oh.
And it came out really good. And I made, this is odd, but this is, so I have a new thing of roasting vegetables and potatoes. And then I somehow managed to make roast potato, like little potatoes, like those, you know, the ones from Melissa's Produce, right?
Yeah,
get those. Mm-hmm. And then those nice little gemstones and the little, you know, peewees, because it's fun. They've got fun names too. Mm-hmm. And then we put onion and really a lot of garlic. And I did put carrots. So we did have carrots for breakfast and a lot of carrot. So I made like this seasoning of Italian and Indian because we had to use curry because it's good. But anyway, it came out and the carrots were sweet. So there's like these earthy flavors and you've got the turmeric and the curry and the carrots brought in the sweetness, you know, and then the roasted garlic, right? So everything was good. So we had that. And so it was the leftovers I fried up with the bacon and an egg, and the egg came out and it was, and toasted olive bread. So it was, and champagne.
Oh my.
So God. That was pretty. Now I know I could run a greasy spoon now.
Now I'm hungry for bacon and all that stuff you just mentioned.
You need to go. And we had lots of garden walks because, you know, that was, we didn't eat too big of portions, but it was kind of comfort food. And that's to do once in a while. You know,
absolutely.
I feel like if you have curry on things and turmeric, you're not going to put on weight. So I was very conscious of that, but that's, you know, I love this talking about, you know, where our attitudes can take us, you know, because I think that's one of the really cool parts of your programs. I was reading through, you know, what you're doing and who the programs attract. And there's a lot of trauma going on in the world. And I know we've talked about this on shows before, but people dealing with negative issues from their past and kind of, it's like, oh, you know, people say just get over it. Well, you can actually, if you want to. And I think that's a really good part of what you're doing. And I think when we have activities like cooking and you can have that consciousness, it helps you work through stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like you have to do stuff. You can't just sit back and say, okay, I'm over it now, right? This is, you have to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know when I cook, most of the time I cook by myself. It's my meditative time. I love chopping up. I love putting together. I put them in different bowls. I love the whole nature of cooking, preparing food that somebody grew somewhere and we get to have it. We didn't have to schlep it to our kitchens. You know, we have to walk it 2 miles. We get to go to the market and purchase beautiful produce like Melissa's Produce. I love Melissa's Produce and whatever else is nurturing. So we become aware of the food itself, which is nurturing. And then when we prepare it with love, with joy, with delight, and we get over ourselves before that, we bring the essence of who we are into the kitchen, it's just so much more of an enjoyable experience. And I'm all up for enjoying life
experience. And when you say nurture, does that help you get unstuck from the past trauma?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the book, I have some analogies in the book or metaphors, but one of the analogies is, let's say that there's feelings or trauma or angry experiences that you've had that were traumatizing, but they're stuck on the bottom. It's like when you make a stew and you cook it a little too high and you don't stir it enough, it starts getting stuck on the bottom. So you have to scrape it off so it comes to the surface so that you can actually deal with it. It's the same with emotions, feelings, experiences. And when we stir them up, which is very important to do, because we don't want those feelings stewing in us. Mm. Because when they stew, the feelings ferment and they mm-hmm. become sour and bitter and spoil. And then we feel sick. When we carry ourselves that way, when we carry those kind of emotions and we don't express them and get them up and out, it's like a pressure cooker without pushing that little button on the top to release some of the pressure.
And then the pressure will release when it wants to.
Yeah. Sometimes, and then you're not in control.
Oh, really? I've never had that happen. But it's true that the you know, then you're not in control of it. And yeah. We can have control over what we do, say, our emotions. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, we just really forget it if we're not conscious. And then hell happens. Like, you know, holy hell, here it goes. And no, this is airing on a Sunday. Better not say that. But you know what I mean? It's then things are happening to us instead of, and we're involved in it, but we're, you know, just kind of being the vessel of it instead of taking control and steering the ship or the beater, you know, if you're going to make icing for my cake.
Right. That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. But
what happens is we become victims of our own thinking and our own beliefs. I had a client who said to me, "Shelly, I did not even know that I could change a belief." I mean, how many of us walk around thinking our beliefs are true? I'm not good enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that. I'm not this. I can't this. I can't that. And we believe it because it's been a belief, a thought pattern over and over and over that we believe, and we put credence into it. That's what I mean. We put more credence into the negative bent thoughts than we do the positive bent thoughts. Why can't we have a what if? Mm-hmm. Yeah, this would happen. This is going to be fantastic if this, and then feel it now. That's one thing about being conscious. You can direct your thoughts differently than when you're not conscious.
Yeah, and if you're dealing with pain or trauma or something from the back that you're ignoring, right? Or repressing, then, you know, you're not nurturing. So that's where I think confidence levels go away. Yeah. And I think, you know, just going to say, I think women have a hard time with this. And then I know men who just know this is how it is and that's it. Don't reinvent the wheel. Mm-hmm. I hate that saying. I really, really just detest that. Don't say that to me ever, because the first thing I'm going to do is change it. I'm just going to go and change the wheel. Oh yeah. Watch this. It can have sparklies. Exactly. You know, so I don't want to really get, you know, into the gender of it all, but I know as women, we, you know, are always multitasking and doing a gazillion things. And I think for moms, they're, you know, they're tired and you can be down on yourself. That's why I think, hey, I'm just saying Mother's Day again, it's coming up and Nancy's birthday, right? So I have to behave here, but it's the nurturing part will boost your confidence level in a healthy way. And when we talk about confidence, isn't that really part of confidence comes from consciousness? And not letting your confidence slide into the big ego hat that we can wear.
Ooh, that's a good one. Look at you, Miss Astute.
I've been reading your books. I've been watching your group on Facebook. You know, everybody, amazing. Shelly's got a cool group that people can join that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, definitely. So, yes, that's exactly right. When we're conscious, we are able to, as I said, become the observer. So if you're going to cook a meal and you're going to have a friends over, family over, now after this pandemic is kind of subsiding, thank God. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to be in Mexico with my family. We haven't been on vacation together forever. Oh, and that reminds me, there are 5 recipes dedicated to my beautiful family in the book. Because
there are
all their favorites. And I just...
And the salad, the Mike's...
Yes.
Mediterranean
salad. And he's an athlete. He used to be a pro baseball player. So he's very health conscious and the kids are health conscious. But they also like sweets. My grandson loves chocolate. So I've got a recipe in there, the chocolate recipe and also the chocolate chip banana muffins. And he loves that. He loves those. And my granddaughter loves avocado toast. So I've got a recipe in there. Aww. My other granddaughter loves fruit salad. So we got a recipe in there for fruit salad. And my daughter is the cheese queen. She loves to make cheese platters. She's like a cheese platter expert. So there's a whole thing of what you can put on a cheese platter and how to put it and what to put first. And so those kind of things are fun in the book as well. And you get so many life lessons.
Yeah, exactly. And now I'm hungry again.
And me too.
I know, cheese platter. You had me there, man. That's because there's a balance with that, right? It's like pairing cheese and wine in like what fruits you can put with it, what nuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have wine with it. You know, it's a good thing. Yeah. That's a form of creativity too. I think that's the other thing about consciousness is it boosts creativity. Artists get into that flow. And it's like when the pandemic happened, you know, there's all those little memes going around on Facebook and the artists, they just show the guy at the easel. It's just before the pandemic, during the pandemic, the second year of the pandemic. And it's the same picture of the artist because they're in the zone of creativity.
Right.
And you just, you know, that's how things are done. Like sports, you're talking about being a professional sports person, an athlete, the way to win is to be in your zone, which is the ultimate of consciousness, you know?
Totally.
So
that's exactly.
Yeah. Right. Very cool. So cooking is good for your confidence, for your creativity. It's all the C's. And the B's.
You got the
A, B's, and C's.
I was thinking I was going to do another book called The ABCs of Living a Yummy, Delicious Life and then do all the A's, awareness and you know, action and all those good words that we can incorporate.
Oh, cool.
We already have the three B's, which is believing, behaving, becoming. So those are the three B's that I include in my Being Conscious program, plus being.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
So and then see like the C's. Yeah, the ABs. We're excited about this. We always want a new book from you. Yeah. That's exciting. So when's it coming out?
Well, that's a good question. I wanted to mention about the pandemic because this is going to sound very strange. If it wasn't for the pandemic, I probably would not have written that book at that time because I'm a hands-on grandmother and I would go over to my grandchildren's house, my daughter's house and make dinner for them three times a week and help her out because she's a full-time mom and so on and so forth. And I couldn't go over there.
Mm.
And so because I couldn't see them, I couldn't do anything. So I wrote the book.
Yeah. See, and that's it about action. And I think a lot of people got more consciousness actually during COVID times and had those thoughts, you know, because, you know, just to sit and think and meditate, I think that we've always had to talk about an old belief system. Mm-hmm. You need to always be go, go, go. I'm very action prone. Mm-hmm. But I know that you need to have those Zen moments, you know, where mm-hmm. you think about things, write things down, journal. Are you happy? You know, instead of forgetting all those feelings, because we don't check in enough, especially if, life can, you forget to check in. I remember Benjamin Franklin, you know, those daytimers. Years ago, I went to a conference and they were talking about Benjamin Franklin. We all had those daytimers and they were talking about, you know, restless sleep, you know, the next day. And the way to get past through everything was at the end of the day, those daytimers. I mean, you actually handwrite things. I mean, I don't know if people do that anymore. I do. You write down at the end of the day, kind of a caption of what happened that day. Mm-hmm. What went well, what didn't, what needs to be improved on. And then you write what you're doing the next day. You prioritize things. So you're settled. You know what happened, what needs to happen. And you've written it down. So you've taken that action step. So your body knows what you're doing. It's kind of like programming your brain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're upset about something, write about it. And then there's always a silver lining to everything. Everything that's negative has a positive. I don't care how bad it is. There's always a positive. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. Like what you said about COVID, there's always a positive. Mm-hmm. If you screw up in the kitchen, make something out of it. It's fun, mm-hmm. you know, like who knew we'd have, you know, curried potatoes for breakfast.
Right. Right. Well, it sounds very Asian, that kind of thing. So yeah, that's a fun thing to do. Why the heck not? When I was in China in 1982, while it was still communistic, we had peanuts for breakfast.
Oh, cool.
You could literally, every culture has a different kind of food for breakfast too.
It's cool.
Not always eggs and bacon or pancakes.
No, actually, we don't do eggs and bacon and potatoes that often. Mm-hmm. It's really, that's a rare kind of deal. Like peanuts are actually a big thing because we're on the road a lot and I'm allergic to tree nuts. So we eat a lot of peanuts on the road because that is protein, sustenance, and, you know, we can all eat it and we like them. Yeah. They're good.
Can you eat sunflower seeds? Yes. Oh, good.
Yes. Good. And pepitas.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Yeah. In fact, that olive bread had pepitas in it.
That sounds delicious.
There's nothing like olive bread, man.
Oh, I love olive bread.
I'm telling you. It's always okay. This is really a dangerous conversation.
Let's get off and go eat.
I know. I love it. So you've got your program coming up, and I want to tell everybody the Being Conscious one-on-one, a 101 program. Mm-hmm. Get on Shelley's Highway 101. Into her program. Right. So it's 4 weeks, and the details are all up on shelleywizen.com. And there's also /BC, all in lowercase, 101 register. You can do that too. Or just go to shelleywizen.com and connect with her on social media as well. Get in her group. It's fun and always uplifting. We see her face up there. She's giving us some kind of yummy, delicious nugget. How about that? Or nougat.
A nougat. Ooh, see, I'm gonna use that accent next time. I have a nougat for you.
I've got a nougat for you. Who wants a nougat?
Who wants a nougat? Anybody want a nougat?
You know, you've got to be careful with that. You know, in Zulu, I used to speak that when I was a kid in South Africa.
Right.
So you know what nougat means.
No, what does it mean?
Stink, like a smell. Uh-oh. If you go around, you say, wena nougat. That is, you stink. Oh, it's one of those, I don't remember how to speak the language except for that.
Oh my God, I better be careful.
That's funny. Well, that's a really nice way to end this conversation.
Yes.
Nougat. But nougat, I never pronounce that right. Nougat. Like, ooh, that's really good. That's like good for the holidays, man. That's a sweetness. Yeah. That's always good. Yes. But yeah, everyone, shelleywizen.com. This is a 4-week program, right?
Yeah.
4 weeks. You got meditations, training videos, recordings, ebooks, all, and a consultation. So you get to chat with Shelley.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to like that. That's going to be fun. Yeah. So all kinds of good stuff. So check it out. And thank you so much, Shelley. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. And always a pleasure with you. And please tell your mom I said hello. Happy birthday coming up and happy Mother's Day coming up. I'm sure we'll talk before then, but
happy Mother's Day.
Yes, happy Mother's Day to everybody.
All right, Shelley, have fun and enjoy the zip lining out there in Mexico and your family. And happy Mommy's Day.
Thank you.